At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Living Large and in Charge, and talking about Blippi, but that's the wrong show to be talking about Blippi. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis in Season 9.
Woo.
Wow. Well, I'm Gina Bellito.
Season 9 could not be off to a better start.
Fine. I'm going to be goddamn professional here. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
It's a little late.
You're listening to Knowing is Half the Podcast.
No, I'll be honest. That's probably the best one you've ever done. Season 9, we finally got professional grade Robert Clark Chan.
And that's all you get. Come back 9 seasons now and you'll get another one.
But we can loop it a million times to make it sound like that's your intro every time and your Casey
Kasem. Every single time. We're going to cut out what's there and put that in. I approve.
I got to work on my camera placement because Gina is constantly looking at her phone. And if she's not, it just looks that way. I feel like that's part of that is that camera looking down kind of thing. But if I go up, then you'll see all my like triple chin and, you know...
You grow the beard.
Well, you don't keep your notes.
Not see the triple chin.
You don't keep your notes on the ceiling, Chan.
I mean, I could put them there. Actually, here are my notes right here. What does it look like? Because I can't look at myself.
Looks like you're looking at me and getting angry.
Hold on. Let me move this over here.
You know, you could put your notes right under your camera, and it kind of looks like you're looking at.
My notes are written, though. My notes are written.
Why would you
do
that?
That's crazy.
Don't you know? The technology exists?
No, I like having old school notebooks so that when I die under mysterious circumstances and a detective comes in and sees something that says Alienator's evolution continues. Oh, was she schizophrenic?
I mean, the modern version of that is just notepad files. And if you go to any comedian's notepad files, you're going to find 10 million things that make them look schizophrenic. At best. At best, they would look schizophrenic. At worst, they would look like some weapons-grade Hitler clone. Just everything is the absolute worst possible thing you could imagine.
But also, when I'm watching an episode, I want to be able to just write it instead of pausing, going to another tab on my computer, writing, coming back.
Do you not...
You pause?
Why would you...
Listen,
you have a keyboard and you could just write it into a notepad file while you're watching the thing, or ideally have two or possibly three screens. I need to get clearance for that third screen. I have a third screen.
Nope.
I can't put it up. Otherwise, my partner would murder me to death.
You know what? Ray used to have notebooks full of these things. When did he? I thought he was old school.
Yeah. No, I was, and then I realized I could just do it in a notes pad on my phone.
I've only got this much left.
I could just do it on my computer.
I feel real accomplished when I go through an entire notebook full of that's all G.I. Joe podcast, and this is like my third one.
So when are we selling those? I think we could make big dollar on that.
Yes, big dollar.
Yeah.
Singular. One big novelty dollar bill.
Could we get that in the form of a giant novelty check? That we get presented with for
$1. Also be for $1.
Those novelty checks are expensive.
Yeah,
are they? You could just go to friggin' Kinko's and...
They don't have giant printers at Kinko's.
Until the day I die. I'm going to FedEx that shit. Yeah, they do.
Well, that's what's expensive.
Where do you get your posters?
Walmart?
I don't get my posters. I go to posters.com.
Do you, Ray?
It's Five Below. Okay, I go to Five Below for all my posters.
Fair I go enough. To Walmart and flip through the...
I mean, that's where I'm going to get the video game and... Like, you don't do that, Gina, please. You can get a lot of Lilo and Stitch right now.
Ugh.
Got a lot of Fallout back in the day. It was great.
I tried to...
Five Below, everybody. Go there.
For about an hour yesterday, I tried to set up my PS2. Was having a lot of issues. Finally got it hooked up.
Can't imagine why. Can't imagine why trying to set up a 30-year-old game system would you'd have problems with.
My OG Nintendo works perfectly. Any Nintendo system works perfectly. Sony systems, not perfectly. But I finally got it set up, and it would not... It couldn't, like, see my controller. So now I've got to, like, buy a new PS2 controller. I just wanted to play Kingdom Hearts, man.
Gina, I set up my PS1 here in the garage in my retro setup, and I had no problems whatsoever, and it works great.
Well,
maybe you should have just called me.
Well,
you can get Kingdom Hearts on almost any platform that currently exists.
No, you can't.
It's not the same, Chan.
I literally have it on my Switch.
It's not the same.
No. It's not backwards compatible because I just hooked up my PS4 and I was like, well, maybe I'll just buy it digitally on the PS4. Doesn't have it. Can't get Kingdom Hearts on the PS4. The only one they have now is for the PS5. They've got like a deluxe edition. It's like a bajillion dollars.
You don't want that.
I just want to play.
You did things the right way, for the record.
I just want to play original Kingdom Hearts.
That's why you have a Switch.
This reminds me of this TV show called G.I. Joe Resolute that we're talking about.
Never heard of it. Not interested.
2010s.
Let's move on.
We are in, I guess, 2009 officially. 2009. We have reached nearly the modern era as we know it. At this point, we were all Hollywood goofballs.
In my Googling, there was an article that was like the forgotten but best G.I. Joe movie. And I got to say, 18 minutes in, I agree.
Oh my God. I was about to say, what sort of trash content farm did that come? I certainly hope it wasn't new rock stars, but
no.
If it was, I would still shit on them because this is trash.
What?
Wow.
Oh my God. This is trying so hard.
Wow.
It's trying so hard to be adult. And this isn't your daddy's G.I. Joe.
It is.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So listen, so here's the deal. Let me give a little bit of backstory here, and then Gina, you tear them apart.
Yeah.
Because originally this is based, they say on Wikipedia it's an anime influenced. I think it's more Aeon Flux, heavy metal style influenced.
I think it's a cheaper version of Sigma 6.
It is not
what?
That real. Hold on,
I gotta pull my mic off of this boom arm so I can drop it.
Wow.
I was legit,
okay, this
like,
was, here's the deal. No, go ahead.
I can't find the article that I read, but I was legitimately like, oh, are we not gonna have anything to talk about because we just all like it?
Gina, you should know better.
I thought
there's
I
almost
did know
always
better.
One of us. That has an unexpected
one
reaction.
One of us. One
oh,
of
funny.
Us.
iFanboy. That's iFanboy, who have a wonderful podcast that I actually listen to. I support that endeavor, and I'm aware of them. They usually have some pretty good opinions. Now, this opinion is from before it came out, or it had just come out, because this is an article from 2009. This is an article from, let's see, I believe it's like the week after this dropped. So.
Listen.
Know this.
Listen, Bruce, this is according to the Wikipedia page. Bruce Kirkland, writing for the Toronto Sun, branded the series as impressive. He opined that its stylization was a hybrid of American cartooning and Japanese anime, but for adults. John Latcham of Home Media Magazine described the series as a harder-edged version of the 90s cartoon. G4 said they clearly marked their territory, running full speed.
What? I'm sorry. Did you mean that they pissed all over it? Because I would agree with that one.
Scott Phil said it primed the pump, ready for a live-action film. This
Brian
was universally liked, Chan. You are wrong. I also can't find the article from before. It was something about how it was a forgotten the best movie you forgot. Uh-huh. Forgotten classic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this came out on Adult Swim. And it was 10 5-minute episodes and then a final 10-minute episode, totaling out 1 hour. It was written by comics legend Warren Ellis. And it's the darkest take on G.I. Joe you're probably ever going to see. I've owned it on DVD here. I've had it for a while. I've had a hard time watching it because while I appreciate what it is and what it's trying to do, I do not like it.
Wait, what? What?
I do not. It's too dark. It takes the fun out of G.I. Joe, and
no,
that's what I don't
have...
like about it.
No, they still have quips and stuff.
Oh, God. Gina.
They have quips the same way that the Dark Knight trilogy has quips. I'm sure they're in there, but Jesus.
Listen,
so dark.
Every article I see is positive about it.
No. I'm sorry, right now. A lot of people really like this. And just like certain media, the people who like it are very vocal about how much they like it, okay? A lot of people will name Resolute as their favorite G.I. Joe property, sometimes even above Real American Hero, which to me is still the pinnacle. And I get why. There's a certain type of dude bro and Gina that would really be into what this is slinging.
Listen,
Gina's
maybe you guys should
bro.
Have told me this before I reached out to one of the actors in this movie. Maybe y'all should have told me that you didn't like it and we're going to crap all over it before I invited its star.
I think, yeah,
to be fair, I hadn't watched it before you mentioned that you knew him.
We'll talk about that at a later time.
I don't have any problems. And in fact, I like the voice acting a lot.
It's very good.
And the thing is, it's written by Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis, as you say, a legend in comics. But when I look down at the stuff he's written, I can literally, the only thing that I'm really a fan of is Next Wave. And like nothing else he's done has ever really done anything for me. I'm not going to say he's bad. Just 100% not my cup of tea.
That's wild. I mean, he's done some character. I mean, like,
you didn't like Castlevania or Astonishing X-Men or Planetary. You didn't like Planetary?
Never.
I prefer Intergalactic.
But I see what you're doing there, Ray. You're making a reference to the classic Beastie Boys track, Intergalactic. And I gotta say, bit dated.
Moon Knight?
Bit dated.
Yeah, Moon Knight, Thunderbolts, he
I've
did some X-Men.
Fella.
He's prolific. I mean, what are we doing right now? Warren Ellis is a legend.
Like I said, I'm not saying that he's bad. I'm saying that that's the stuff that I've read of his hasn't really worked for me.
Oh, and excuse me, when he took his crack at Constantine, that was also excellent.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
You guys, I'm agreeing with you right now. Is that just a reflex? I thought this was too dark for the property. Like, I understand that, like, Deke was not dark enough, right? And I think G.I. Joe Extreme is, I like that one a lot, although I can see how people would not, on its surface level, want to accept it. And Sigma 6, I thought, was a little bit too goofy. And then it's like they went the entire opposite swing. The pendulum just went all the way in the other direction, and they decided to make the most darkest, hard-edged G.I. Joe. We're going to murder known characters right and left in the opening. We're going to drop a bomb and kill 10 million people in the opening 10 minutes. And that's where I sort of am just like, God, this is a little too heavy. This is a little too much for me. I want my G.I. Joe to have peril and be fraught with that, but I also want it to be silly.
But
like silly, live in the moment.
People
live the reality.
In the live action movie, it gets dark. People sort of die in the.
Well, we're doing the live action movie after we do Resolute, and we'll get to that when we get to it.
But
I have my own set of problems with the movie.
Even in the animated movies, Duke was going to die.
It was just a coma, Gina.
Yeah, but they were going to kill him until Optimus Prime died.
No, to be fair, I could make an argument that G.I. Joe the movie was also a little bit too dark.
You just can't, your brain just can't handle sadness that now that you're both soft with kids.
I mean, that you might be 100% correct
with
on that.
Kids. To a certain extent, yes, but also I can. What year is this?
2009.
Yeah, that definitely smacks of grimdark. You know, like again, not your daddy's G.I. Joe. And you know what? It is what it is. Of course, every generation should, you know, take a hold of the IP of its parents' generation and remake it. It just feels, you know, hack.
I can't go down that path with you. Hack is not the word I would use.
Yeah,
even.
What
there's
famous,
obviously a lot of talent happening here.
What famous IP have you been trusted with in your lifetime, Chan?
Well, I mean, there was that one time I did a version of the Smurfs where Papa Smurf gets Me Too'd. And you know what? It didn't go over as well as I had hoped. But, you know, we live, we learn, we laugh.
What do you say about that, Chan?
We pray.
It's about time. Hashtag also, believe Smurfs.
Not for nothing, but I've been scrolling down Warren Ellis's Wikipedia page, and look at that big old section just before awards there. I'll let you read that for yourself.
Oh, no. Let's talk about problematic.
Is that the word we're using for?
Come on, he's a white guy comics writer. Of course he is.
Hey, yeah. You keep Peter David's name out of your mouth. That dude does not have any section like that in his Wikipedia. So
you could be a comics legend and also be Neil Gaiman. I'm just saying the two things can exist.
Huh?
Listen.
No, you're thinking of Intergalactic.
Sabotage.
Beastie Boys classic. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of Sabotage.
I can't stand it. I know you planned it. I'm going to set it straight, this podcast fate.
So let's break it open and learn about why it does what it does. Because literally in the first 30 seconds, we've killed Major Blood.
We've killed Major Blood
in the first 30 seconds. He's found dead.
But it opens on Blood's blood. Huh?
Yes.
Weirdly, he was killed in a gang fight between the Crips and the 316. What do we call them? The 619s.
The Latin Kings.
Here's the thing.
Sure, there we go.
I will say
I only know two gang names.
I will say this is the like Warren Ellis quote about it was Sam Register phoned me up and said we'd really like you to write a G.I. Joe animation at a PG-13 rating aimed at an older viewer. I said I've never seen a G.I. Joe cartoon in my life. I know nothing about G.I. Joe. It is meaningless in my world. Excellent, Sam said. Just the guy we need. It was hard not to notice at this point that Sam Register is crazier than a shithouse rat. Therefore, I decided to take the job. So he has admitted many times that he knew nothing about G.I. Joe. So maybe that's what you guys don't like about it.
Well, I'm very precious with the characters. Like, again, the fact that we kill Major Blood, who I enjoy greatly, you know, and then Scarlet gets his fingerprints.
We haven't watched
DNA.
The whole thing. Maybe he comes back to life.
So high tech.
Yeah. We 2009, you know, I like it.
We haven't gotten to the end yet. Major Blood might be resuscitated.
I think this is the kind of thing that just has no problem killing a lot of people. You know, I not my favorite thing to do with the property is come in and just start whacking mainstays right and left just because
you
can.
If you have no love for any of the characters and you're just like,
that quote makes sense.
Cool. I'm a fridge this person because I don't like his fucking tattoos. You know what? Like, you can do that. And that's a choice.
Listen, of all the bad guys that they were going to kill, though, Major Blood is a good choice. Like, would you rather...
That's the one you would do. Yes.
Yeah, like, you don't want him to kill Tomax and Zaymot or Zartan or any of the OGs. Major Blood came later, so it's less shocking that they killed him off. I mean, I think so far
you
the ones...
You kill Zaymot and you keep...
You kill Zaymot,
you show Tomax in a padded room because he's crazy. He's gone crazy because of his brother's death. That's character development. That's some ish right there.
No, Major Blood is probably, if you're going to kill one of them, Major Blood is probably the one you would pick. You could also go for like Scrap Iron probably.
Yeah, you know, but Major Blood would probably be the
highest ranking character that you could kill without really killing the soul of the show.
Yeah, the most recognizable. Also, like, you know, in this episode, we find out that Cobra Commander is not pleased with the people who've tried to usurp his power, which is a thing that Major Blood has tried to do. Although, to be fair, everyone has tried to do that at some point.
Yeah, there's no single person in Cobra that has not tried that once.
I feel like there are two people who constantly try and usurp his power, and yet for some reason are still working with him.
Yeah, yeah. Destro and the Baroness have no problem at all, like, doing their own side operation with him.
Can't wait to see them.
I mean, I don't know.
Fuck in the next part of this episode, because that's where we're leading, I'm assuming.
It's only a matter of time. They're going to go full Ninja 100%. Scroll on this thing.
Yeah. They practically did that with Duke and Scarlet already. So, like I said, not your daddy's G.I. Joe. Now,
I think one of my problems and where I had a hard time, because I never actually watched it all the way through before. And tell me, Gina, if any of this, like, tracks. But we open with Major Blood dying, and then we cut basically straight to the USS flag, which gets completely bombarded by Fireflies saboteuring. And so
we skipped right over Scarlet's super fuckable hair flip.
She did do that.
When she's, you know, like, it looked like she was on a catwalk, and she, you know, like, takes off her disguise, and her long flowing hair comes out, and she flips it, and it was like, so we're just
I just think that it's very sexist of Chan that he doesn't think that a woman can both be a smart kick-ass CSI agent investigating a crime and have fabulous sexy hair.
At no point on the island did Snake Eyes whip his balls out and just sort of caress them like he's,
you know,
doing
what?
A goddamn job, and he's not there to be like, I am a sexual object as well. Look at this.
You know what? We're not watching him 100% of the time. You don't know what he was doing.
That's fair. I will also say what made me laugh in that moment is that Scarlet, you know, her ruse is over. She throws her CIA gear in a park trash can. She pulls her hair back, whips it around all sexy like, and then mean mugs the camera while straight walking into it like... It's a very weird contrast of moments happening right there. Like, I'm sexy, but I'm goddamn mad about it. which is amazing. So, yeah. So yes, that does happen. And then the U.S. But then we go straight to the USS flag, like, getting bombarded, blowing up. It doesn't sink, but it gets severely crippled by it. Cut to then immediately, Bazooka is now also dead, and we're doing an autopsy on him, pulling stuff out of his mouth like it's Silence of the Lambs over here. And this is where I'm going, God damn. And then we go straight from there to Cobra, like setting off some sort of major doomsday device in like Moscow, I think, and killing 10 million people. And it's just one after another with the body blows. And I'm like, okay, Warren Ellis, too much. Give me something fun. Give me anything fun, please. And he really doesn't. And that's where I have my, even Cobra Commander is like serious Cobra Commander. He's not silly or goofy any way. I love Cobra Commander, but it's just that on top of all of this other grit and just and mean mugging and death, I'm just like, oh my God. And that's
you
where
boys
I have
soft.
My problem. Maybe I haven't seen the rest. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe I'm Charmin soft from having a kid.
You
but
are
like,
soft.
No, not soft. But if you're going to give us that level of violence, I do want a level of realism. Here's the thing. Kill Bill is over-the-top violent, but because it's live action, that juxtaposition works for it. Because this is a cartoon, the violence is over the top, but it is also unrealistic. I feel like it's too much. If they grounded it and like gave like some real motivation, some actual non-comic book dialogue to the characters, then it'd be like, oh damn, okay, yeah, I'm in for this, you know, blood fest. I'm in for Sigma-6 plus blood. Who wouldn't
listen?
Be?
This no, Cobra Commander that. Actor though is great. I think it's cool mm-hmm. that they. I mean, Warren Ellis said he originally put too many characters in it, and there's a quote about like voice actors are expensive, which they're not. They're notoriously not. But they only have four actors listed, which and Charlie Adler is Cobra Commander.
Love Charlie
best known
Adler.
As I think Buster Bunny on Tiny Toon Adventures.
Buster Bunny and Wacko Warner, I believe he was as well.
Yeah. So he plays Cobra Commander, Stalker, Flint, Gung Ho, Hard Master, and a cop. My buddy Eric Bauza, who voices pretty much everything in the world now, is Storm Shadow, Destro, Tunnel Rat, and a random Cobra Soldier. Steve Bloom, Duke, Roadblock, Wild Bill, Ripcord, Zartan, Doc, and Gray Delisle as Scarlet, Delisle. Dialtone, Baroness, and Cover Girl. I think these voice actors are killing it. There's only four of them in here, and none of them sound the same.
Can I, like, before we pull it back, no, these are some of the greatest, great voice actors. You know who Charlie Adler played on G.I. Joe, though? He played our hero Lowlight. So, dude can go, all right? Like, you know, I'm a fan already.
Talk about a character that deserves to be in a dark version of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, why is Lowlight?
Why is he not in here?
They're giving us a gender-flipped dial tone, but not Lowlight? Not that I have a problem with the gender flipping. Honestly, I thought that was kind of cool.
Clearly you do, sir. Clearly you do.
I'm just saying, like, the choice is made. You had the darkest G.I. Joe character possible, and we have not seen him yet.
I will say that my main complaint about this is no shipwreck. Why? If you're going to bring back OG characters, why are you not bringing back the best OG character?
I guarantee goddamn to you, the second on Warren Ellis' hit list after Bazooka would have been Shipwreck, because he is looking at the goofiest characters in the show and saying, get rid of them immediately. And Major Blood, arguably, with the possible exception of the Dreadnoughts, but even the Dreadnoughts have like a thing, like their fuck ups, you know, and you can sort of see why they would do that. Major Blood is a mercenary. There's no reason why he should be that incompetent. So absolutely, that's going to be the top of Ellis's hit list.
I will say, if he had put Shipwreck in this and then killed him, I would have burned this motherfucker to the ground. I would be with both of you that I hate this, and it's the worst thing ever made.
There's still 40 minutes left. You could.
You clearly did.
It still could happen.
You said everyone involved with this sucks. I hate them.
Oh my God.
They die. None of them should ever come on the podcast.
Camera pans over. Shipwreck lies in coffin while all G.I. Joe cry at his grave. Camera pans over further. Tiny coffin next to it for Polly. Cut to Gina throwing a chair at the TV.
Not throwing a chair at my TV. I would have hunted down Warren Ellis and been like, this is for Polly, Gina, you motherfucker.
Based on this Wikipedia entry I just read, you should not be chasing down Warren Ellis, just for the record.
If you had continued on in that script read, you would have seen off screen, I thought he was in a coma. He's not. He's not okay.
Completely ADR.
The only thing beyond that I will say about the voice acting is that Duke seemed off to me. And I couldn't figure out why.
He seems
mean.
And
I realized that it's because he sounds too much like Wolverine.
Okay.
And
I would get how, like, you know, you have like sort of your bag of voices. And, you know, if you've got to do like 12 characters, you're going to be using, you know, a lot of them. And this one was kind of his Wolverine voice, which... Mm-hmm. Made me think of like a loner and someone who's, you know, not necessarily management material.
No, yeah.
That's not really his fault. That's just,
yeah, he needed,
you know,
to do a Cyclops voice, not a Wolverine voice.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, Duke is kind of mean in
this. Yeah, exactly.
Because he has a hard edge, Gina, like every other person on this show.
I mean, he does. He does have a moment where he's like, he like allows Storm Shadow to go.
He allows who, Gina?
Snake Eyes.
Who's the ninja that leaves?
Snake.
Excuse me. Okay.
He allows Snake Eyes to like go on his own like personal vendetta mission, and then Duke like turns to Scarlet, and he's like, "Whose dick do you want more, Scarlet? Mine or his?" It's an exact line quote.
No, that is great. Very
an
real
exact line quote, and that's again part of the thing that rubbed me the wrong way is that they're basically on screen fucking now, It's not even like,
no,
I get
she
it.
Wants,
you only have an hour.
She wants Snake Eyes. And you see Snake Eyes be disappointed, which I also kind of like, because I've always shipped Scarlet and Snake Eyes. I don't want Scarlet with Duke.
Well,
why go with Duke when you could have Snake Eyes?
You know who else did that? Larry Hama in the comics. Like, they were a couple in the comics.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
That is an
I'm
absolute
just,
thing that exists.
I'm just saying, like,
hold
in
on,
this
hold
moment.
On. We need everybody to hear the tone of voice when he says this.
Yes, please.
It's very
You can
mean.
Go with him or stay with me. Your call. Make it now.
You mean stay with the unit.
You heard what I said.
And you know who that is? That's Steve
like,
Blum.
Like
I recognize his voice immediately.
I do feel like there was an unspoken bitch at the end of that. Like, you heard what
yes,
I said,
100%.
Bitch.
Yeah. No, but
like
Steve Blum
bet,
does.
Like, in
he,
the,
oh.
in
no,
the,
I was
going to
say, he plays soldiers
he
everywhere,
in.
And he does them all gravelly. So
yeah,
I see why
I
they cast him as Duke, but also
recording.
Not the right choice for Duke. Yeah.
I bet
yes,
when he was
he
doing the voice recording,
Wolverine,
he threw in the bitch.
And he does it in that voice. Which is what I said earlier.
Sorry. I'm stomping all over your wildness right now because it's very inappropriate.
The and again,
you're soft.
That's
you can't,
sort
you can't
of
handle
why,
wildness.
Like, I can't even handle Wild Bill at this age.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe! X-Wing!
It changes from a jet to an attack copter.
X-Wing! X-Wing! Cobra's gonna feel your sting!
Joining the attack is the G.I. Joe Mean Dog.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe! The G.I. Joe Mean Dog! Mean Dog's got a bad bite! Looking for Cobra and Ixion to fight! But nobody beats G.I. Joe! A real American hero!
X-Wing comes with pilot, Mean Dog with driver.
Chow-chow!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
This whole angle, because the voice sounds kind of like a loner as opposed to someone who is the head of an elite fighting unit, which incidentally are not supposed to have conjugal relations with each other, for exactly this reason, he's like...
Yes.
Who are you going to go with? Whose dick are you going to ride here? His or mine? You got to make a choice now that it's serious. Also, she's like, you mean stay with the unit? Like it's my goddamn job to do? And he's like, you heard me. You do your job, or you fuck right off.
Crazy.
Well, then, but I don't like Duke, but I do like that she's like, well, then I'll stay with the unit, which like, of course, yes, you're right. It's her job. But like you see Snake Eyes sort of be like he's like sad. He obviously doesn't talk, but they do a good job of animating it. So he's like, I hope she would come with me and we could
Very
make smoochies.
So I'm trying to make sense of this Cobra plan. I think I have a general, I don't know.
He's going to put microplastics in everyone's balls. That's what I wrote.
Oh, okay. You know, that's exactly what I wrote. And I just couldn't believe that was what was going on. Okay.
Also, this is the first time we've ever seen...
Step one, laser. Step two, boom. Step three, question mark. Step four, profit.
This is the first time we've ever seen, I like this, the Cobra foot soldiers get speaking lines. Like they're like fully, you know, they're like, hey, what was that? Oh my God, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, they're not just like voiceless little minions in the background.
To be fair, didn't we get a piece of that during Sigma 6 where there were like the same two Cobra soldiers and like who piloted Destro's like warship, and they were always just having those like Agent 21 and 24 from Venture Brothers conversations?
That was some good stuff.
I vaguely remember that bit. I vaguely
but
remember
it's
this
very
bit.
Welcome here. Look, if you want to work in a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern henchman group into anything at all, I am on board for it. It's always a good choice.
My upstairs neighbor just dropped a body. I don't know if you guys heard it on the mic, but there is definitely a death up
no,
there.
No, I did not.
I was listening for a body. That's why I didn't say anything.
Shit, I guess Warren Ellis is close in more ways than one. Okay, so Snake Eyes is going to go because what's found in Bazooka's mouth, Silence of the Lambs style, is a Rashikagi symbol. And it's like, Storm Shadow must have done it. And he's calling out Snake Eyes, who now has to go on a ninja mission to go get him. Cut to Cobra Commander is basically like, he has a thing with satellites, and he's like blocking other satellites, but he has his own satellites, and he can like transfer power through the satellites across the entire planet and then pull it back into one location to like mass devastate without using a nuclear bomb, which is kind of a cool idea. But again, it's just so much for this.
Convoluted?
It's good. Look, it's a G.I. Joe plot. It's going to be convoluted. You don't get ABC G.I. Joe plots. That's just not a thing.
Listen, I think one of the reasons that I like this is because there is enough OG G.I. Joe stuff in there for me to like. They kidnap some scientists. They have an insane plot.
Oh, they do. Yep.
I also think when whoever it is like, you mean like a laser? And then like someone else is like, no, it's like different than a laser. Like I was like, oh, come on. That's like funny because they know that OG G.I. Joe,
fair,
like Cobra was constantly using lasers for shit. And they were like, it's a more complex laser though, man. Don't call it a laser.
Don't do that. It's outrageous. And I did, you know what? I loved the scene. I really, really liked the scene with Firefly when he shoots the missile across New York City from like an apartment building. And the missile goes into it's like the United Nations or whatever, but they call it, I forget what they call it there, but it's basically the United
Nations.
Pretty
sure they called it the United Nations.
It is the United Nations. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chan. And he like, it shoots through, doesn't blow anything up. It just sticks into a wall and shows a projection of Cobra Commander. And I was like, that's the good stuff right there. You give me that all day, every day, and I'm going to be happy. I did enjoy it. And also Cobra Commander being on there and being like, hey, y'all got 24 hours to surrender to Cobra. And I'm like, yeah, you're hitting the notes. I like it. And then he nukes Moscow, killing 10 million people. When I go, that's maybe too far.
I forgot. I do have one more thing to say about the voice acting. I like that they made the choice with Cobra Commander rather than to just like full on do a Chris Latta impersonation, kind of approximate it, and then use like distortion on the voice to kind of make it something different, something, mm-hmm, you know, scary, something Cobra Commander like. The peak of the dialogue here, and I do not think we haven't watched this entire thing, but I can't imagine it will be exceeded.
There will be none of your crap.
That's it. There will be none of your, wait for it, crap. All right, Warren Ellis.
Crap, you, is one of the funniest words in the entire English language, just for the record.
PG-13 cap. I see that there. I see the word that you substituted. And all right, that's what we're doing.
I mean, I've told the wrestling bullcrap story before on here, right?
I'm sure you have.
I'm doing
recall
it again. I was in an indie show 150 years ago, and it was an all-ages show. And that was very important for this, because there was a wrestler cutting a promo in the ring who was trying to, he was very, very angry at his opponent. And he's calling him out before the match for all the dastardly stuff that he was doing. And he finally just kind of goes into it. And you see, like, halfway through the line, he remembered that it was a family-friendly, all-ages show. So he just says, I'm just sick and tired of all your bull crap. And the audience went berserk. We were laughing uproariously that he got so emotional and ended it with bull crap that during the match, the audience started chanting, bull crap. Bull crap. And I've never laughed harder at an indie show in my life, because that was intense and real. God bless the
guy.
I don't remember what wrestler it was, but God bless Detroit area bull crap wrestler. He should have turned it into his whole gimmick, quite honestly. It was he could not have been more over in that moment.
Yeah, embrace it.
Yeah, you gotta lean in at that point. Okay, so we've nuked Russia, and then we get dialed to, and this is, okay, I like this, but also it was confusing. Because essentially, yes. You know where I'm going with this. Shan, take it away.
Here's the thing. Like, they did a gender swap. I got no problem with that. The sort of issue that I have is, let me find a line, because there's a whole room full of, he keeps calling them kids. So you know, they're newbies, whatever, like no name G.I. Joe characters. And there's one who then speaks up, was like, he's like, who could, you know, blow up an entire city, or, you know, who knows how to blow up an entire city? He's like, I can give you like five different ways.
It was great.
And it was like, you're my new favorite. Great. But then he doesn't name her. And at that point, I'm like, what is this bullshit?
I was trying to figure out who this character was. 100%.
Yeah, they didn't bring it up until.
Yeah, they bring it up later. But the way G.I. Joe works, and the way that Ellis chose to continue doing it, is like, hello there, Roughneck. Thank you for coming into the G.I. Joe rec room. Now listen, Roughneck, we've got a job ahead of us, and they're going to name the person like 12 times.
Sure.
The fact that they don't originally made me like, well, then, so that you're just some no name. Why?
Right.
Why not just give the person? And eventually they give her the name Dial Tone. I'm like, oh, I see. Well, why didn't you just call her that before?
Well, so here is what it says in the Wikipedia. The series created a female Dial Tone. Originally, she was just a background character, but due to the amount of dialogue she had, the producers said she should be a Joe. Ellis chose the code name Dial Tone because it amused him. So
it's not a good reason to do it.
I would wager that they probably got through like most of this movie, and then they were like, hey, this like minor character that is not a Joe that we've never seen before has a lot of dialogue. Should we just make her one of the Joes? Should we just make her a pre-existing Joe? And they were probably like, yeah, but there's no women Joes that do tech stuff. So here are your options. And he was like, Dial Tone's a funny name.
Yeah, except that's what Dial Tone's fucking job was in the original. It's a spew of technical exposition jargon, which is what she was doing. So they backed into the correct answer anyway.
I guess they did.
But you could have theoretically made that cover girl, and I wouldn't have batted an eye.
I would
have. Yeah, that's true. I mean, but wouldn't you have? Wouldn't you have said, like, cover girl, since when does cover girl know tech stuff?
I mean, the thing is, she was a mechanic and like
a driver.
She was a driver, and she worked on the vehicles of G.I. Joe. It's
exactly.
Not, but it's not that big a leap if we're killing Bazooka.
There are like three or four characters. These are all gender neutral names. Every fucking G.I. Joe name, except for Duke, is gender neutral. So there's zero problem with gender swapping any of these characters. Fucking.
No. Look, there's an entire list. There's an entire list, Jake, because you got Dial Tone. It could have been Mainframe. It could have been Breaker. And it could have been Sci-Fi.
That's what I'm saying.
It could have been any of those characters.
That's what I think the producers probably gave him a list and said, hey, we decided this role is too big to just make it like a rando. So here's a list of characters that like in the past have been tech savvy. And he probably went through it and just was like, yeah. Dial Tone. But also, it's I think because this was a late addition, instead of anyone addressing her by her name, she does the very awkward thing where she's like, ha ha ha, Dial Tone, you've done it again. Or like whatever it is, like she addresses herself as Dial Tone instead of anyone else calling her Dial Tone.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Funny. They had at least three opportunities to name drop her in a way that made sense. And instead, we get to the very end where she says something smart and then she's just like, that's what Dial Tone's all about. I'm like, God, shut up. I don't know. That's not the line either. But like, I'm just like, no, that's the dumbest way you could have introduced her name. And literally my look was just confusion.
I went to Wikipedia because I wanted to back up my assertion that all G.I. Joe names are gender neutral.
That is incorrect, Chan.
And it started out pretty good. Ace, sure. Agent Helix, why not Airborne? Then I got to Airtight, and I'm like, oh, that's probably not the best name for a woman. in the army, but like whatever, altitude, ambush, backblast. Okay, I'm done here because none of this is, it's only going to get worse from here, I'm sure.
Oh my
also,
God.
I feel like no woman wants to be called Dusty.
Sure, I'll give you that. But I feel like Big Lob would probably be an even bigger
Big
issue.
Lob.
So,
all right, y'all killing me. I want to know, like, you know, they find these G.I. Joe people wherever and just have them join the team, right? Quick Kick was an actor in TV commercials they just found in, like, the Arctic Circle and made him a Joe. Shipwreck was just, like, a sailor in the desert drunk at a bar. They're like, you're a Joe now. Remember, Dusty himself was a refrigerator repairman that they brought
Hell
on
yeah.
to make a Joe. Where did they find Backblast? That's what I want to know.
I didn't even bother to look to see what his deal was.
I don't want to know. I want to keep
it mysterious.
The worst
fucking name in the world.
Phenomenal. He was just on Mainframe screen one moment, and then he turned it off real quick. I don't know what happened, but we need him for the team.
Yes.
Amazing. So here we go. The part that it really, the dial tone gender swap doesn't bother me. And I'm going to say right now, and you all tell me if I'm on the MR Ray podcast or this one, but mm-hmm. gender swaps and race swaps for that matter of characters, even if they're longstanding characters, 100% can work under certain circumstances. The only thing I ask myself is it important to this character that they are male or female? Is it important to this character that they are what race they are as opposed to another one, right? This is why a character like Black Panther, some of you, cannot be played by a white actor because it is very tied to an African country. And it's very important that that character looks that particular way. Same thing with like Storm and who this character is. But Nick Fury, on the other hand, doesn't matter what color he is or quite honestly, like what gender he or she could be. And that's the main difference when it comes to these types of swaps, which is why every time that it happens in a very minimal way and you watch the same handful of people online who I think it's only like three ferrets in a trench coat with like 100 mm-hmm. different Reddit accounts, I'm pretty sure. But the same people get angry about it over and over and over again. Only in one direction, you know, in The Last of Us Part 2, they race swapped the character of Dina. She was an Indian American, and they turned her a lot more light-skinned. Didn't hear any complaining then. Truthfully, it doesn't really matter for that character, so it really doesn't matter. But it's weird how they're always complaining about it one way, but they never seem to complain about it when it's the other way or when you go back to old media. And maybe we have to race swap and gender swap, because if you go back to older media from 40 plus years ago, everyone is white and male. Okay, rant over. Am I crazy?
I was not listening to you whatsoever. I was still going through names of G.I. Joe characters.
No, you're probably right.
And I apologize to the female character Hot Seat. That's probably not a good choice.
Stop it.
There is a character whose name is goddamn Ice Cream Soldier. I don't understand it.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't like it.
Wait, a lot of these characters are new to me. Are these comics characters? Are these from the comics?
A lot of
these extended universe
turning out to be characters that were created for that were just palette swapped molds for the Toy Story line.
Okay, I'm looking at Ice Cream Soldier. He's from 1994. Look, after Deke era G.I. Joe, so the early 90s, G.I. Joe became a thing that was chasing every fad they possibly could. So they started fighting dinosaurs when Jurassic Park came out. They were eco warriors for a while, right? And they were doing all that. Ice Cream Soldier is Wild Weasel with a bizarre bright yellow and red color swap, although the red is pretty much the same. And he's got three grenades. And he has an absolutely amazing flamethrower. Now, how he is the Ice Cream Soldier with a flamethrower, you ask? I don't know. I do not have an answer for that. This character looks cheap as shit, but he also costs $100 if you would like to buy him.
I mean, it makes sense that some exec was like, hey, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to, I found his theme song, and I don't have an MP3 of it, but I'll just sing you the Ice Cream Soldier, Dreadlock Rasta, was an ice cream soldier in the heart of America.
Of America.
So I think, what we're going for here is kind of a Wailers kind of vibe.
Uh-huh.
No, that's all I got. That's it. I just wanted to sing that song. I didn't even bother changing any of the lyrics like I ideally should have, given that I have a comedy background. And
I'll be honest, Jan, I kind of felt like you phoned that one in.
You know what?
A lot of potential on that
That's
one.
What dial tone does.
Christ. And, okay, so the last thing I want to complain about here, Gina.
Uh-huh.
Chan, you know.
Hold on, what was Gina saying when I cut her off with that miserable goddamn
saying that if any character smacks of like a toy line executive note, it's, hey, I was at my nephew's party the other day, and you know what they served? Ice cream. The kids were really into it. Do you think we could do something with that? Cream. Like maybe a character's name is ice cream? And like the toy guys are like, all right, whatever.
Maybe like a guy with a bunch of knives and he like murders people. I don't know. Just work with it.
To be fair, if you read the blurb about him, I assume it's from the file card. It's basically like, some G.I. Joes have a code name that's made fun of by their enemies. One such is the Ice Cream Soldier. And then the next paragraph is like, until he shows up with his flamethrower and burns your goddamn face off. Then who's laughing? And I'm like, oh my God, this is
horrific. It doesn't
say
goddamn, does it?
It doesn't, but it's implied very heavily.
That's fair. No, that's a boy named Sue kind of psychology. I get that.
Very much. No,
I would like to apologize to the female G.I. Joe skid mark while we're at it.
Oh, my God.
There is no one can stop it.
You're probably looking at the goddamn Wikipedia page.
I doubt you, but I know I'm wrong.
This is...
Oh, my God.
You don't
God.
Want those names for Joes. So, to be fair, this basically ends with a whole lot of more exposition, but what I really liked about it, but also...
TJ Bang? There's a character named TJ Bang.
Listen, that's a playoff of TJ Hooker. It makes sense.
Oh, well, I don't think there will be any problem with a woman character named TJ Hooker, so let's just go with that instead. It's a much better choice.
Oh, my God. Look, you don't think Beachhead would be a bad name?
Yeah, so she's like...
The driving character is much, much worse.
I combined my two favorite things in the world. Get it? It's beaches and head,
oh
you guys.
Oh, my God. No, Gina, yeah, I got it.
I don't think you did.
So this whole thing kind of ties around it until we get Destro and the Baroness. They've kidnapped a bunch of scientists. They have an important battle station to this whole thing. It is a very convoluted plan. G.I. Joe, as usual in G.I. Joe properties, they have to attack on three fronts and split into teams. They go through a lot of stuff real, real quickly, and they're just like, okay, they're going to do this and this, and here's this, and so we need to do this so that they can do this. And then immediately one Joe, like Tunnel Rat or somebody's just like, I have a perfect plan for doing that actually already in motion. They're like, great, you're on that team. And to be fair, great Tunnel Rat. I'm going to say it right now. As soon as Tunnel Rat showed up, I was a little nervous, but I figured in this property, they're not going to give me that Tunnel Rat. So that made me very, very happy.
Look, we're 18 minutes into this thing. Has he eaten his own boogers yet?
No.
But he's got time, so we got to withhold judgment until this whole damn thing's over.
This Tunnel Rat had like one line, and it was one of the most deeply competent lines. It may as well have gone to dial tone. Quite honestly, he seems to know his shit. And I'm happy about that. You know, yeah, and that's where we leave it off. We leave it off here.
No, we leave it off with hardcore sex between the Baroness and...
Excuse me. Destro and the Baroness are having hardcore sex while they make the scientist they've captured watch, which is...
I mean, that's obviously where this is going, right? Like, Baroness has a bunch of captive scientists. Again, I love it. It's like an OG G.I. Joe plot. And then she's, like, walking up and down the line of them. They're on their knees, so they're butt and vagina height. And then she, like, walks over to Destro, shoves her crotch into his, and she's like, yeah, so let's torture these little piggies because we never get to do much together. I'm pretty sure that's the exact line.
I'm going to play the actual line so that you can hear how into the... Because Gina, despite all her talk, does not necessarily do a great job of conveying the sexual tension here in this
I want lots of peace while this machine we've supercharged does its work.
She's definitely talking about Destro's junk.
After all, it's not that often we get to spend this much time together.
No, she's DTF for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
I'm surprised Destro didn't press a button on his gauntlet and, like, all of a sudden all the captured scientists are propped up in cuck chairs. I mean, and then they just go straight to Bone Town.
I feel like that is exactly what's happening.
So Destro is also my buddy Bowser, and I can't wait to hear. I did not watch ahead to hear his voice, and he doesn't get a speaking line, but I can't wait to hear what he does.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal. Look, he's very, very talented. I heard a rumor that you knew him, and that that might mean things for us.
I mean, if we can exploit even one of my friends for a middling podcast, shouldn't we do it?
I've been exploiting two of them for 10 years now, so.
At this point, who's exploiting who? The problem with this show is all three of us need it. And none of us want to admit it but me.
This is what Ray does instead of therapy.
This is all I have, people. You think I get to talk about all of my problems on the other shows? I do not.
We're the only ones that
have to do with the other shows, but
don't worry about that. What, like, because I probably need a fourth or a fifth show at this point, right?
Oh, good Lord. That will be cited as the reason for your divorce, and no judge would stand in the way of it.
No judge. She just stepped forward and she goes, Your Honor, he has 5 podcasts. I need hear nothing more. Granted. Restraining order official.
I understand how podcasters are perceived in the world today. I watch Doctor Who. I know that it's just above sex worker and just below like medical waste disposal, but it hurts. It still does hurt to think about.
Please, I think it's only murder. Only Murders in the Building has done wonders for positive rep for podcasters.
That's
it's the
true.
One property that, yes, they're making fun of podcasters, but they pull them up, and I appreciate that.
It pulls up podcasters who are over 70 and also comedy legends. So if either one of those two things happen to us, maybe.
We just got to keep going. We might not hit
That's
legend,
true.
But we'll go 1 for 2, and that'll get you in the Hall of Fame, baby.
Get you an A Hall of Fame.
That's true. We'll be there sooner rather than later, Chan.
Yeah, we're not far. And as they keep printing out new G.I. Joe every single year, we'll have more to talk about.
Oh, my God.
There's G.I. Joe that didn't even exist yet when we started this thing.
I mean, you know that this is all leading to someday Luna and Egon have to take over the podcast, right?
Oh, that's understood.
Like, this is their legacy.
It goes with us. No, here's the deal. This goes with us all the way to the retirement home as we're recording around one of the billiards tables, you know, with crappy mic setup. And then when we're gone, our kids are going to do a show where they do Knowing is Half the Podcast and talk about each episode and watch the cartoon in question and do their own spin. It's going to be great.
This is by far the darkest episode of Black Mirror I've ever heard.
Podcasting's a dark world, Gina.
It's true.
Hit our Patreon. Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast.
Are we done here?
Patreon's been growing lately.
Has it?
Oh.
Honestly, yeah. I was surprised too. But there's people on there who actually like what we do. And it's crazy. I started posting a little bit on there. Not enough, but more. And, you know, people respond to that.
It's all thanks to Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander's. To be fair, everybody who's joined since then has been a Cobra shill. And that's, you know, whatevs. But I guess we'll take what we can get.
It's fine.
But yeah, also there's a guide up, if you don't know, that links to all of the podcast episodes by title.
That?
You
Hell
can search it so you can find the cartoons you're looking for, as well as all of the now basically hidden Patreon-only vault episodes.
So, Chan, how many episodes have we done now? Do you have a number for us of how many episodes of this monstrosity there are?
I look at it and then I remove it from my brain because it hurts to think about.
Because we got to be over 600 at this point, right?
In the main feed, I believe we're up to about 460.
That's
the main
it?
Feed.
And
well, we removed a bunch.
Another 160 or so vault-only episodes.
So there's nearly, oh, geez, that's like almost 640. I can't do math. What is going on?
It's a lot.
Guys, I'm just saying, if you like this, there's a lot of this.
There's arguably too much of this. But,
not enough.
I mean, it's all the same
Never
price,
enough.
So fuck it.
And with that, I say goodnight.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.